Rabbi's prayer at the eve or the end of Rosh Hashanah. Well, hopefully that's what's happened to us. Now, O Lord, our God, impose thine awe upon all thy works, and thy dread upon all that thou hast created, that all works may revere thee, and all creation prostrate themselves before thee, that they all form a single band to do thy will with a perfect heart. See, he's answering us. He's latter-raining us. That's great. Okay, so the readings, we've done all these, we've talked about. I'm not going to do I was going to do the whole thing with the readings of the priests and the prayers and all that. I'm not going to do that. So we're just going to read Jonah.
There should be a song about Jonah.
So we gave the kids the Bible study on the other night.
Yeah, they had little pictures of the playoffs. Forget them.
Do we have a Yom Kippur song?
Call me friend.
I can't find Jonah. Do I want Jonah? No, let's read. No. Before we read Jonah. No. Isaiah 57.
From where?
Isaiah 57.
There's two right there by you, Ed. That's why I changed. You couldn't find them.
The reading is Isaiah 57. In Isaiah 58. There's no Bibles around anywhere.
Turning off.
Little munchkins moving around.
I'll take that.
Rebecca says, it's my potty.
I was on first.
Pardon me, but that's where I should.
Do you think they see three stars in New York yet?
Probably.
Well, I can see one.
No! Not until we can see three here.
No, we'll never see three here. We tried it last night. There are no stars in the town.
I saw five stars last night.
Planets don't count, though.
Do you understand what all this about, Liz, the three star business? In ancient Israel, the law said that the feast days, actually the day started at the evening when you could see three stars. That was the beginning of the day. So that's what, there's great arguments about when you can see stars. So then you can break the fast or have to start the fast.
Gary Larry, see three stars.
Pass those around, let everybody smell them.
I'll take a hit
something. McDonald's
Boy, those smell good.
Jacob.
Jacob.
Isaiah!
Isaiah, what?
Do we have any wine?
It's rosé.
Isaiah, what?
57.
57?
Let's hang in there until it really turns dark. Let's see. Make the most out of
this. This is a heretical Bible.
Forget it, Larry.
The righteous perisheth. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgressions, the seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Do y'all understand this?
He's getting a personal
whoa. Guess what I was talking about before you got here? I didn't use my exact words.
What's he talking about?
Inflaming yourselves with idols, against whom make ye a wide mouth. What does that mean? He means you're eager to take them in. Are you not children of transgression? A seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree? It means you're getting hot under with an idol. Stocks and rocks and stuff. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. Slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. What does that mean? Every time you pass your child through the fire of Moloch, every time you put your value system on that child, or on anybody else, and you're slaying that child in God's eyes. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Does anybody know what he's talking about?
Was it rocks? Smooth stones, were they the idols that they made?
I mean, was it? Right, but what's it talking about internally?
Sacrifices or worship of idols in the way of giving them bread. Why should God be appeased with these things?
Yeah, but what is it that you're doing that's this?
What do meat offerings stand for?
Food the drink offering and... Are you okay, Liz? The drink offering and the meat offering? Those are the offerings that you made at that are made at the idol, I mean at the altar.
For sin?
Well, they're both for peace offerings, for success, for sin.
Multitude of things.
Bunches of things.
I thought if I could figure out what those were, I could narrow it down.
Yeah, let's go on. Let's see what it is.
It's all the stuff we do all the time.
It's all the stuff we do all the time. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them, and thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. Yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Hast thou found the life of thine hand? Therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared? and thou hast lied, and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. You see, God says, God demands that you be in that position of total moment of dependence and helplessness. And that's from Him only do you get your sustenance. But you go running off and do your 5,000 little thingies, and you get your sustenance and your identity from all these little thingies. And then then you get in trouble. And you say, "Oh God." And God says, "Let now your rocks and your stocks stand up and save you."
Like in 10, you did not say it is hopeless.
Right.
Like you've got to get to that point.
That's right.
That's the only point where you can provide hope.
The rock and the stock were the pillar and the grove, weren't they?
Well, but I'm talking about in practical matter, what the thousands of things that you do.
Just whatever.
Yeah, to you go anywhere but to God. You know, that's what Doug and I have had.
We go to God, too.
Yeah, he's one among many of your gods. Okay. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and it shall inherit my holy mountain. You see, we miss it. In the English it says, okay, he who trusts in God shall inherit my holy mountain and get good stuff. Here it says, he who relies exclusively on me, on no other aspect. I mean, it's so easy for us to say, well, we trust God. Yeah. Right. And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that it is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit shall fall fail before me, and the souls which I have made, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, even and smote him. I hid me and was wroth. And he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. You see, that's what we do. Look. God puts 10,000 stumbling blocks in front of us. To make us do what?
Stumble.
Yeah, right. No. To make us see the vanity of continuing on that. But we, with all of the force of will and energy and everything in life teaches us to do it, we overcome those obstacles and we'll go on to success. And so God can't deal with you then.
But don't we have to do that? I mean, if we didn't do that, then we wouldn't be... We wouldn't believe it. You know, we have to press through and until he causes us to fail.
Yeah, but again,
we're programmed that way. So but, to do anything else is to be a lie within your.
Yeah, but again, let me say to you that God, in His mercy, gave us both empathy and preaching to confront that illusory way.
Save us some time.
Save us some time. Otherwise, you'd have to be 10,000 years old. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled seas when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Okay? Now, we've all known what fasting is. Now let's see what God thinks about fasting. 58.
Oh, that's part of the reading
too? Yeah, 57 and 58. Who's got a King James? Pete, read.
Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of judgment their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head in a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free?
Amen.
And that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy healing, thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry.
Just a minute.
Be quiet.
Melinda, if you don't be quiet, you're going to go in the other room. Do you understand? Not one word.
Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity.
Man.
And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken.
Amen. He'll cause you to ride upon the high places. They'll serve you, those things that have been the groves and the high places that have been your trouble. They shall be your deliverance, speed, what?
It's like it's saying, you know, the law set this day to afflict your souls. And then here the prophet says,
this is the way?
Is this what you think it really is? Just to afflict your souls? If you don't see all this other.
Amen.
And in the end down here, where is it, 14 or that are encroaching to call the Sabbath a delight.
Amen.
Which is a Sabbath. Is the
this isn't, Sabbath, he's talking about.
The Sabbath.
Yeah, the Sabbath he's talking about there is the Sabbath, which is the day of the feast.
In other words, it's not just to afflict your soul, it's not to do it in any of those ways we've been talking about, it's to seek the delight.
Amen. I'm sure glad he put that in there. Otherwise, I'd have been in big trouble. What?
You said it or not?
That's right. Okay. I can get Larry with the Bible, but I can't close the Bible.
Right.
Jonah.
And those that have the large print edition.
And also, I have one more thing to say before we do this. The very last part. This is a segue into Jonah.
8:49.
The wicked are like a tossing sea.
That's right. That's right.
And speaking of the sea.
Speaking of the sea.
Good segue.
Good, John. That was very good.
His body's maturing.
That's good, John. I'm proud of you.
Blessed is he who sits upon the pit.
Sings upon the pit.
In that way.
Amen.
She didn't even get out of bed until
Harry, we were driving over here. Harry was wondering how many people have lost their souls for a cup of coffee.
I was thinking in my mind, pouring into a cup, sloshing.
Sloshing.
I drink about
that. Yeah, commercials over and over.
Yeah. I've been seeing baked ham since about 1 o'clock.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we're the only semi-religious Jewish group that has baked ham to bake a fast.
I did
too.
I did a ham first. Well, sure, why not?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, before we read Jonah, I want to show you something. In Matthew 12, I'll just read it. You know, first. Certainly the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here.
Hey, this brings up a question. Why would God have even bothered to throw down on Nineveh? Weren't they Gentiles?
Yeah.
I mean, why even?
For your benefit.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a Gentile.
You might see.
And they repented. Yeah. That's the main part.
They repented, and they are now in the bride. And they are the great cloud of witnesses, part of them, that are waiting for us, because they can't be perfected without us. Do you have a dumb Bible?
Yeah, it says Revised Standard.
Why don't you read it out of the Revised Standard? Probably. Well, I'll... If
the Revised Standard's on.
They're reading from the dumb
I should
Bible.
Read it out of my Jerusalem Bible, but it's not going to
work. Now, let him read from
that. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it.
Now you remember Nineveh. Do all of you remember Nineveh?
Big town.
Big city.
Nineveh was a big, we're talking big, we'll study it in the other group
big
in a minute. Nineveh was so big that there were 100...
Had a two-lane highway on a gate.
No, there were these towers that were, I can't remember the dimensions of them. Forget that one a minute, I can't
they're
remember.
They're wide enough for two chariots.
Yeah.
The wall around the city was wide enough for two chariots, 2 6-horse chariots to go with it. And it took
3 days
to go across the city of Nineveh.
And there were 100 guard towers.
100 guard towers, that was it. But they were humongous things. I can't remember the dimensions.
See, we remember something.
So that's the biggest around in those days, wasn't it?
Oh, big. We're talking big.
Biggest around today. I don't think there's anything that biggest.
Yeah.
about the size of Chicago.
Next door, Oklahoma City.
But it's big. Big, prosperous, best there was, the ultimate of the ultimates.
That's why God picked it.
Plus, they were big enough.
They had television.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Snuff films, bro.
Investors did it.
They had little
at Times Square theaters.
They had ice cream.
Okay.
Combat.
Don't talk about ice cream.
They had their own world.
They have coffee.
I'm basically in chocolate.
Talking cigarettes.
They had, eye drops.
Oh, yeah, eye drops. Eye drops. They had eye drops.
Did they have three stars in it? They had the Empire State Building.
They probably had mouthwash.
I bet they had three stars.
God, I smell bad. I just breathed in myself.
Arise. Go to Nineveh.
Wait a minute.
That great city. And cry against it. We're waiting.
No, that's good.
Well, their wickedness has come
you scared
up
me.
But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish.
Okay. Why is this the reading for Yom Kippur?
Baptism.
Repentance.
No. Repentance.
Repentance, right.
But what's the example? We rise to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We hear, and we yeah, right, God. We go the opposite direction because of our own fears. Do you realize what power is available to you if you just open your mouth and speak what you know? Big time. All power in heaven and earth. So the idea of this, the lesson of Jonah, is the total and complete turning from self.
But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. And they threw the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call upon your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we would not perish."
No, you understand. He's not the captain of the ship. They've just tried everything else. I mean, they've already thrown all the stuff overboard.
Now they want everybody to pray to their God.
Now everybody, yeah. But and they've all the other guys, he's already had them pray.
Didn't they know he was a prophet too?
Huh?
They knew he was a prophet also.
I don't know. They knew he was weird. But the point is that it was finally Jonah was asleep on the bottom of the ship. Okay.
Big storm, that's pretty wild.
I mean, this was a boat from Joppa, and where's Joppa? Is it?
Joppa
is on the coast of Israel.
It's coast of Israel, and Tarshish is
way out
the islands way out, like probably the Canary Islands, or well, some people say it's England, some people say. But it's a big boat.
And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots,
now that's,
and the lot fell upon
Jonah. Wait a minute. The other reason it's read is that it's the casting of lots for the scapegoat. How many people don't know about scapegoat stuff? One, two. You know about scapegoats? You weren't here when we studied scapegoats. No, that was just a little. I mean, in the past years. We studied it for like weeks before. Okay.
So they cast lots, and lots fell upon Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What's your occupation, and whence do you come? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land."
Ha.
Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" The sea grew more and more tempestuous.
He said to them, take me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried to the Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee.
Okay, let's read through 17, and we're going to go and look at something else.
So they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows.
Just read the next verse.
The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
That was kind of an important one that you should have read. John 11. I want to show you something. Remember what we're talking about here. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. That's always the question, you know. If it, I don't want to get into that. John 11. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? This is right before this is at the trial of Jesus, just before. For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the whole people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this he spake not from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Anyway, but that's the type of what's happened here in Jonah.
One man died
for the whole ship. Okay, who wants to read? You got one? What?
We're going back to Jonah.
I'm fired.
You're fired. Jonah.
Two.
If you accept that I fire you, that means you're fired. Okay. Now this is the prayer of Jonah, the famous prayer of Jonah, which you've never heard of probably, but go ahead and read it.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice.
Amen.
For thou hadst cast me into the sea, into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about.
Just a minute. Let's start in verse 2 again. But listen to this prayer, the prayer of Jonah. It's the prayer of Christ.
It said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea.
Now stop a minute. The other reason that this is studied is because of the scapegoat. The scapegoat, there were twin goats. They had to be exactly the same weight, they had to look exactly the same, they had to cost exactly the same. One of the goats, lots were cast just like here, and on one of the goats, a scarlet ribbon was tied around his neck, and that goat's throat was slit for Yahweh, for God. Didn't have anything to do with you. The other goat, the high priest laid his hands on the goat, said the prayer which confessed the sins of the people onto the head of the goat, and then that goat was set into the wilderness, into a land not inhabited, bearing away your sin, bearing away your conscience, bearing away your past, your identity, your images and ideas of self, bearing away all of that, all sin. Now, do you hear that? That's what happened at the cross. The blood was for God, but he went into the land not inhabited as our scapegoat. It was typified, the prototype of it was in the baptism. When he was baptized, and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But you have to know it experientially in that it must be seen as it's as taken away totally. I mean, it's gone. And it's seen here in this prayer. That's the other reason Jonah is read, because it so beautifully typifies this is where it becomes life to you. Otherwise, it's just religion.
Why the two lambs? Why one for God and the blood, and the other one does bear away the sin?
Because that one's for Azazel, the demon. That's why he was Son of Man and Son of God. That's why it was the great trick of all universe.
Does it have something to do with God giving Satan the earth basically at the fall?
That's right. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the God of this world.
And he has a claim on us.
And he has the claim on
Adam. And so Jesus went there and
satisfied the claim.
Right. But
he said, "Here I am." But it's like, you know, you expect one thing, and here comes God.
And here comes.
And he's going, whoa.
Here comes going into the depth of hell to meet the claim, the just claim of Azazel. Here comes the last Adam. And that last Adam, he's there for 3 days and he explodes out. And he's defeated forever. I mean, just think of what, we're talking big time tricker. He thinks he's getting a man down there.
He finally won.
It was like just as the first Adam willfully did this thing, you know, ate of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus willfully, you know, went to the cross and had this happen. Otherwise, you know, it would have been, you know,
Satan would still have a claim
somehow. Yeah. You know, God could have just done it, but right. You know, it does everything works.
But see what happened here. That's what the scapegoat means. Everything that was about you that you think is negative has been borne away to a place not inhabited. And that sacrifice was accepted by Azazel. He got tricked. And just as in that apparent emptiness of that act, I mean of nothingness, so then what happened? The Son of God exploded out of the belly of the whale, out of the depths of hell, just like Jonah exploded out of the belly of the whale.
It's like sending Satan a letter bomb.
Yeah, big time, atomic bomb, letter bomb.
He's got his check in the mail.
But you have to know it. You have to know it. Otherwise it does you no good. You're still subject to all your past bullshit unless you know it.
I was talking to Linda earlier about the stick ceremony, Kol Nidre, and it was really driven home the fact that if you don't believe this ceremony is real, it's not.
Yeah.
But if you believe it, then it has the power to deliver you of the vows of everything that you impute to it.
That's something I want to say.
If it's just silly, then it's just silly.
It's all this, every feast and everything we do is, it is a ritual, it's a ceremony, but it's more than that. In other words, it's always going to be a ceremony, because the ceremony is just stuff that you do on some kind of basis of regularity or because of some pattern.
But we never do it right.
Yeah, but
that's our righteousness.
Seeing what it's all about is what makes it more than a ceremony.
Amen.
And to
makes
do
it meet.
Yeah, to do it, just to try and do it for all these other reasons.
Now the interesting point is, even in the belly of the whale, just as Jonah was totally and completely helpless by its activity, i.e. the strength of the whale, etc., but in Christ was no less. He emptied himself. I mean, he was totally without strength. You want to make a horror movie?
Yeah.
I mean, Christ emptying his own strength, putting himself in total and complete 100% dependence on the Father. 100% dependence. Now, if any of you would once know that, then you would never again play the games.
Every fear that we think about was from that, even at this point.
Amen.
So those fears don't have to affect us.
Amen.
He experienced them.
And every fear, every aspect, every need, every psychological fear, everything is gone. But listen to this prayer again. Who's reading? I'm going to read it.
This hit me a couple months ago. I don't know when we were talking about this once before, but I no longer believe that Jonah was swallowed by this Disney whale.
Well, of course.
Had a smile on his face, and he went down there and he sat there for a couple of days, and then he built a fire, and the whale sneezed him out. I don't believe it anymore.
No, yeah.
There's no question in my mind that this great fish ate Jonah.
Yeah.
His body was eaten.
Well, because
and
what
in
happens?
The belly of a fish for 3 days.
Well, what happens in the belly of a fish?
There's acid.
There's acid beyond bunches of acid.
Yeah.
So he was resurrected.
He was resurrected.
He was eaten.
That's the meaning of Jonah. What?
I don't think he was digesting.
Well,
it says he threw him up. They probably have a fairly slow digestion.
Well, the point is, he was dead. He was messy.
Probably all his hair was all messy.
He's stinking.
Slimy.
It was yuckier than the common conception we had.
How did he pray to God? Yeah, he spit out intact, you know, walking around.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I'm okay.
What? Well, because he did.
Like
he cried out as it was happening, but he was down there 3 days. Yeah. Yeah.
It
said, "I cried."
Yeah. He was alive.
Well, he's no more dead than we are.
Right. He's the same as we are. We're both dead.
By a fish or sitting here in this room.
Listen. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. Now, you see, the waters are just, remember, that's always typified, it's the human race, so always the waters. And you're always, the seed in us is always swallowed up. And then we come out and we rise above it. When in knowledge, we move above it and we walk on the face of the water. It doesn't affect us any longer. The storms, we're no longer cast to and fro and carried about by every wind and wave, because we've been anchored, just like the beginning anchor or the beginning thingy was Rosh Hashanah. Now this is, Yom Kippur is going to be another one. I mean, and each one of these will anchor us more and more securely, and it'll cause the lies that have so permeated our minds to be dispelled. I can read the rest of it. I'm sorry.
What verse were you
at? Read 5 again.
The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption,
Amen.
O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple.
they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land.
Amen. And just as nasty as that whale's belly was, it's a perfect type of hell. Who's got a Bible? Pam. Chapter 3.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey.
Oh, it says it right there.
And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Hallelujah.
So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
That's the other reason we study it. They proclaimed the fast of Yom Kippur. And the sackcloth and ashes is when, remember, the sackcloth is just made out of the animal skin. And the ashes, by you identifying yourself with the animal that's to be sacrificed, and the ashes, then you have identified yourself with that sacrifice in the temple of being slain and burned. Now,
sackcloth was cashmere.
Huh? Sackcloth was not cashmere. It was not a potato sack. It was.
Hold on just a sec. I didn't say it a minute ago. I'm not sure that I believe that Jonah was dead. I believe that he was close to dead.
Was Jonah breathing?
No. Jonah was dead.
And after he prayed this prayer, he ceased breathing, and then he was resurrected to meet the type of life.
I'll tell you what, in verse 6 of chapter 2, when you get home, look up the word corruption.
Okay.
It's like a dead, what
happens
to a dead
body. Dead like
right.
Jesus was dead.
That's the reason you don't believe Jonah was dead is you don't believe Jesus was dead.
Or it could be you just misunderstood.
No, I don't know. I thought about Jesus actually being dead.
Well,
I mean, when he
was
standing
there.
Well, I'm serious. I know you haven't.
Yeah, to be resurrected, you had to have been dead.
Jesus was dead.
I never really thought.
No, it's a wild thought. But
I just kind of thought he was mystically alive.
What does dead mean, though?
Well, the M's not breathing.
Dead means not alive.
Dead
means not breathing.
The not empathizing that Christ was dead means that we cannot empathize, we cannot understand, I am crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
We can't believe we're
you don't
dead,
believe
we don't believe he was dead.
There was a big body of people from the very first and in the Middle Ages who believed that either Christ somehow slipped out before the,
he did a magic act.
Before the death took place, because how can you kill God? You know, they went through all these deals, you know, and it was a big heresy, and volumes written about just what happened at this point, and it's real important.
Well, I believe he died as far as on the earth, but then when he went down for 3 days, well, I think he was alive again.
He was preaching. He preached to the dead.
He was.
Yeah.
And
he
what
was,
state
so
was
what,
he when he preached?
How does that work? How can he preach to the dead if he's dead?
What does that mean?
But it's, I mean, the idea that he physically died.
Okay, I want you, listen to me. I want you not to worry about whether he's preaching or what he's doing. I want you to empathize that he and Jonah were both physically dead. Just as we have to empathize and know that Sarah, her womb was dead when Isaac was born. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. You have to know you're dead. And you can't know it unless you know he died. Otherwise you'll think crucifixion is some, you know, trick.
And maybe you'll just have a swoon or something,
yeah.
You know, you'll be just knocked out or just unconscious or in a coma. You know, I mean, that's the way we think about it a lot. We think Jesus, you know, they put him in there, and he's
in
a coma.
Even the King James Version, they use sleep as a synonym for death.
Euphemism.
I mean, I want to get it, you know, when we talk about this, I want to get it right down to the nitty gritty. I want to say passed away. Okay, who's reading?
Where are we?
6:36. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water.
Can you imagine a king giving that decree? Not the, even the beasts of the field can't even drink or eat.
For how long?
Huh?
How long?
43 days. No, one day. Okay. Who's else got a Bible? You got which? You,
I got an RSV.
That's all right. No. This is the funny part. First of all, you got to recognize Jonah, right? Jonah heard God. Jonah gets ticked off and he takes off the other way.
This is why I was thinking he didn't actually die, because how could he, you know, if he saw all this great stuff, great revelation, you know, and now he's, well,
that's what happens to us, though.
Yeah.
Just listen. So now he's in the belly of the whale, he gets thrown overboard and he gets swallowed by a whale, he dies. And he's revived, raised from the dead, spewing out of the whale, and he's healed, he's healthy. So he says, I think I better listen to God for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I'll do what God said. So he goes and preaches. And then Nineveh is saved. Now he gets really pissed off. He gets pissed off because they were saved. And God said that he was going to destroy them. But it's probably right. He's what he's saying. The reason he's being displeased is because their salvation came from a one day, one quick, one turnaround. Well, you didn't do what I did. You didn't have to get swallowed up. You didn't have to go in the belly of a whale.
Not as ugly as
that. Okay. But now...
Was there not also a thing that a prophet prophesied that didn't come to pass?
Oh, but this isn't, but that's in Israel, but this is in Nineveh.
Oh.
There's, speaking of Nineveh, there's Jonah.
Jonah.
I get them all mixed up. Jonah, Jana.
Okay.
Well, we do this too.
What?
In other words,
oh, we'd never do that.
In other words, we've died, been resurrected, in Christ, we still have...
We go through the same thing.
Yeah.
This is what we learned. That's when any of bananas
you
were
asking about earlier. How's this all
right.
Stuff? Keep going. When we do these things, even though we're
brilliant,
hmm.
We're still doing right. Don't get near anyone's breath, Jan, especially mine. What?
Okay. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abundant, abounding in steadfast love, and repentest of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take my life from me, I beseech thee, for it is better for me to die than to live.
You have to admire a good line of bullshit.
I mean, he should have been a Magna himself.
Right.
I can relate to Joe.
Right.
And the Lord said,
You dumbass. Yeah. No, he didn't say that.
Do you well to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and set to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there.
Right.
He sat under it in the shade till he could see what would become of the city.
He thought it still might.
Yeah.
Might happen after his intervention with God.
Right.
And the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceeding glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, it got appointed a worm which attacked the plant and let it wither. When the sun rose, God appointed a sultry east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "I do well to be angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?"
We finally got to Judy's verse. "And much cattle also," the King James. But you see, there were millions of people in the city. But there were 120,000 people who did not discern good or evil. And they were worthy of saving.
And all them cows.
Oh, they were talking about kids, right?
They were talking about the kids that hadn't reached the self-awareness.
They were talking about people like this.
No, they were not talking about people like that. Okay, I see three stars.
Amen.
We're going to do it after we eat.
Coffee, coffee.
We're going to eat first, then.
Look at all the women over there eating.